Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. As always, thanks for joining us this week. So as you listen to the show, here's the deal. I know change, that whole concept of change freaks us out, especially if change is thrust upon us. So to help you navigate those tumultuous waters of change, I have a free gift for you. Go to my website and take your free communication style assessment. It will help you understand how you're being perceived and showing up. It tells you what your superpowers are, and you also get a second report which shows your blind spots. Go to whitmanassociates.com/CSA, and that is my free gift to you to help you on your journey of change. Now, my motivational quote today is by the amazing Henry Ford, and he says, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. So being in business for 20 years, you know, many things have changed. And yet, honestly, so many things have stayed the same. And recently, I've been taught about my business soul language. I know, right? Well, you're thinking, well, what does that mean, Connie? So most business owners, like myself, see their business and their personal self as two different things. So, or the same thing, actually, we see it as the same thing. I am my business, right? Well, surprise, they're not. And I was shocked to learn this as well, that my business has its own soul freaking language. Can you imagine? Now, intrigued by this whole new perspective, I asked my guest and my friend to teach me about my business soul language and to come on the show to share her gift and knowledge with you. So today, my friend and amazing guest is Jennifer Urezio. Jennifer is going to help you understand what you are energetically putting into your business and how to listen so you can receive more and be of service in a bigger way. Now, Jen is the founder of Soul Language, a paradigm that puts tangibility to soul so a conscious connection can be established to enable crystal clear decisions for success. Sign me up, right? Jennifer is also a master intuitive and the author of two best-selling books, Currently, she has trained over 30 practitioners worldwide in soul language. Currently, there are over 5,000 individuals all over the world connecting to their soul languages. Please help me welcome my amazing, stupendous guest, Jen, to the show. Jen, thanks for being on, sister.
I'm so excited. Yay!
Yay! So yeah, you know, I love this topic. I sent a ton of people Jen's way because she just does such a fabulous job. And I know that this is an important, believe it or not. I know for me, when I first met Jen, I'm like, what are you talking about? And after doing my personal and business reading, holy smokes, what beautiful information. So first thing, Jen, what do you mean a business has a soul?
So we call in a business to do something bigger, first for ourselves and then for others. And that has energy. And that energy we call a soul. So when you call in a business to do something, it has this fundamental, core, essential nature that we can actually put some tangibility around. And so that's what I mean by a business has a soul.
Okay. Can you give an example, since you did mine recently, can you give an example of what that is? What give the example of what a soul business is or a business's soul is?
Yeah. So each one of us, personal and business, has three core energies of soul. And we call these soul languages. And everyone on this planet has a mission energy. Or a mission soul language, how they'll be known here's a soul language, and then a soulful personality, how their soul prefers to go through life. So your business has a mission. It has an energy about how it will be known here. And then it has an energy that how it prefers to kind of do business. And so when we put tangibility around that, then people can connect to it on a deeper level. And my business languages are much different than my personal soul, right? Mm-hmm. My business energy is really about stillness. It's about receiving, where my personal soul is about action, movement, and courage, right? And so there's 107 core energies of soul across the three different categories. And again, each one of us has three. And some of the Some of the languages are observer, which is really about, it's a mission language. And what it's here is here's to observe everything. And these people are like the record keepers of the universe. You ask them a question and they can give you an answer lickety split. While another mission language is called pioneer. They're all about, you know, forging new roads for themselves and others. Where my personal soul language is called equalizer. It's all about balance. Where my business language is called counselor. It's all about providing one area of information to someone.
I love it. This is such my jam to learn about this. Not that I ever want to do these readings, but I'm so fascinated because there's so much information out there that can serve us. And yet, if you never hear about it, how do you know? Like, had I never met you through the networking group that we both belong to, she happens to be a Jersey girl too. She's north of me, but like, I would never, a soul language. What the hell is that? Right. So another question, why do we want human words around the business?
We want human words because we're mostly doing our business with our heads. And when we tune in and do it energetically from a place of heart and understanding, business tends to be a lot easier. And so humans love words to put to things because it creates this kind of barrier of safety in a good way, right? We can then explain it, connect with it, talk about it. And so often we're doing all of that with our head, not by profoundly listening to that energy. And when we profoundly listen to that energy, it has a lot more to say and can give us anything, information, anything from what's our ideal client to what's the right marketing, tactic to do. And so often people are going through their business with their head and then they're struggling. They're putting unconscious behavior and unconscious energy into their business and their business acts like it. So you might be experiencing low income or clients you hate, or it feels like you and your business are going uphill. That's because you're putting unconsciousness into your business and not your goodness and your love.
And it was funny because when you go through the reading, and I'll just give you an example, and Jen asked you a question, and it was funny, the first question you asked, I don't remember what it was, Jen, and I pause and I go, let me think about it. And Jen goes, no, get your head out of it. What do you feel? And it was such an odd thing for me, because I'm always in my head, to shift to what I was feeling in my body. And literally I said to her, what should I be feeling? What am I looking for? Because I didn't understand, what is your body telling you? Right. And as soon as she explained and guided me a little bit, I was like, oh, and then I can answer that question. So we immediately, I think as business owners, go to our head, right, Jen, that's what ends up happening, instead of listening to that inner wisdom.
Yeah, I think we spend most of our lives going right to our head, right? We are taught from the moment, you know, we could really engage in communication. What do you think? We're never talk about what do you feel? What's your intuition? Yeah. What's your gut telling you, right? And so we don't really have agency over ourselves. We're operating on a lot of pain and programming. So understanding your personal soul and the soul of a business really gives you a new sense of freedom and agency to tune in. Your soul and your business soul is never going to tell you anything that is going to cause you harm. You might be in resistance about it. You might be afraid about it, but it's never going to steer you in the wrong direction. And so many of us are not listening to that inner guidance system, especially when we do business, because we're trying to figure out the best way, the right thing to say, the right marketing to do in order to kind of get what we want. And we're making all of our clients or our customers, we're making them the source of us, not a resource, right? And so we tend to be in this push-pull with life. Well, when you're connecting to that energy, you throw your hands in the air and you get to let go and go, okay, what's the next divinely inspired action? What do I be? What do I do today? I'll give you a really funny example. So I was talking to a client today and she tuned in and she's like, oh, yes. And when she tuned into her business and she got a yes about this topic, I was like, oh, her yes was an answer to my yes, right? She didn't know, right? Like, she didn't know what was going on over here, but it was like, oh yeah, we're right on the mark, right? So often when you tune into the energy of your business, everyone's telling you to go left, but you go right, and that's where the solution is, rather than the long way around, which is left most of the time.
Yeah. And it's funny. When I first met you, you did my personal soul language, and I was the push pull. Right. And I am not afraid, but I'm resistant because I know what I know. Right. I'm using my brain. And you gave me such a great example. I still remember it, Jen. Jen said to me, guys, the other day I was, I got to work. I got all these deadlines. I got to get a post out. And she said, and she kept hearing in her inner self, right? Her gut, go for a walk, take the dog for a walk, go to the beach. I think it was even go to the beach or go by the water or something. And the brain said, no, you got deadlines. You got to work. And then finally it was like, no, go for a walk. Jen left, went for a walk, took the dog for the walk, whatever she did, she came back and there was a message on the machine. There was a new client for her. So she said, by fighting all the time, we, instead of doing that deadline, right, the client was coming to her anyway. And that was just such a, and I was like, oh, that's how our gut guides us. And yet we fight. You're so in tune that you listened. See, I'll be honest, Jen, I would say, yeah, I want to go for a walk. It ain't happening. I got work to do. So I put my nose to the grindstone, which is not the right thing to do.
It's not the best thing to do, right? Because what you're doing is you're creating struggle, right? You're not creating ease. You're not creating grace. And I've crashed cars in that kind of energy, right? We've all had that experience, like, oh my God, I got to get something done. And like, you know, you hit every red light, you can't find your keys. We're like, that's that energy. If you're putting that into your business, like, you're creating struggle. And when we start to ease off the gas, when we start to really listen, what we do is then we step into the flow, right? Then we step into the natural abundance that is all around us. And, you know, here's another example. Like, I'm starting a membership program, right? And so the hit was to get Kajabi. I was like, no, I don't want Kajabi. Like, I had all these thoughts around Kajabi. I'm like, I'm just going to find something that can integrate with my current website. Okay. So I bought a product, integrated it. I hated it. Got my money back. Bought another product, integrated it, hated it. I was like, fine. I'm going to listen to my business. I'm going to listen and get Kajabi. I spent 5 minutes on Kajabi. I was like, oh my God, this is so easy. Why didn't I do this before? Right. It's really realizing that the world is here. The metaphysical world is here to support you, that your business is here to support you, but you really have to start to listen and go with that energy rather than deciding what you think is best, because most of those decisions are based on pain and programming, not truth.
Amen, sister. And I'm still struggling with it. I need Jen to pour it into my body.
Connie, I struggle with it too, right? I think so often people are like, I don't want any struggle and I want to eradicate all limiting beliefs in my being. Well, good luck, first of all. And second of all, if we didn't have those bits of separation, we couldn't invite more goodness into our world. When I'm in that push-pull struggle, I go, oh, wait, there's more goodness that wants to be created here. What can I do? What can I be? How can I pause in order to go, oh, wait, no, more goodness is coming in, versus like riding that wave of torture. And it's just about a matter of practice, right? We just have to keep practicing.
Yeah, it's like anything else, right? I teach sales. And what do I say? You got to practice your presentation. You have to practice your questions. If they're not landing right, how can you change them, right? It's all about the reiteration. And we know that in our own zones of genius. But when it comes to our own life, I think that we tune out that sixth sense or that other piece of us, right? That's always there, but that we've become really good at tuning it out. Why do you think, why do why do people fail in creating a sustainable business? Because everything you're saying, people are like, oh, I could get into flow. Then how come we don't do that all the time? Where are we glitching out?
I think we mostly glitch out because fundamentally, there's a universal belief that we are not enough, that there's not enough, that there's never going to be enough, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of us put into our business energy. I think sometimes we're just so geared to go and move fast that we don't pause. We're taught not to really listen to within. We're taught to do it by the book. We're taught to do it by what the marketing people say. Or what I love about you in sales is you teach people how to do it with the heart. So hello, right? You guys are already ahead of the game by starting with that concept with Connie, just in that concept. So I think that people fail to create a sustainable business because they don't believe it could be so. My favorite comment of when JFK was putting together the kind of space program, I forget who he was talking to, but he leaned to the head guy and he's like, so do you think we can get on the moon? And the guy went, if you believe we can, we can. And that's a very profound statement. So most of us are putting the belief that our business is not going to succeed. We are not sustainable. We're not enough into it. And that's what it gets back. And listen, there's good times and bad times, okay? You know, like the world of an entrepreneur tends to be a little, ooh, right?
Yes.
But it's knowing that you're safe in the dips and the valleys. And most people, when a dip comes up, they start to freak out and withdraw and create resistance and pain and fear. And then that makes the up climb even harder.
It's funny, just when you just said that, I thought when I was younger in my career and I was learning sales and you're learning different things, you're trying different things, what's going to work for me and my style, right? And I was always very heart-centered and honest, right, in how I did business. So anyway, you learn that and you do it. And then all of a sudden, what happens? You hit a slump. We all do. I just wasn't finding the right customers. I did a lot of outbound calling and mailing, live mailing, not emailing back then. And for some reason, you had the flush where people were finding me that were perfect fits for me. And then I was hitting a slump. And during the slump, it was so funny early in my career, I would be like, oh, I know, I'm going to try this tactic. And I would abandon the tactic that had been working for me all along. And what would happen? Further failure, like deeper, worse. And then ultimately I'd find my way back and I'd be like, oh, this is what I was doing 3 months ago. Why did I stop that? And all of a sudden you're back in flow again. And that happened several times before I realized, I know my process. I know in my heart, this is how I need to do sales. I don't care what everybody, my sales manager screaming at me and somebody's telling me this. I know what my clients need and I know if I'm a good fit for them. This is how I have to come through, right? This is how I have to communicate that. And I can't deviate and be someone else. That took a long time to learn. It's the exact same thing that you're saying here. Yet why don't we trust that the business will, especially after COVID, right? We all had so many downturns and pivots and shifts. And I tease Jen, I say, my hips are hurting. I've been pivoting so much, right? But that trust of, I know what I'm doing, why do we deviate? And we do it all the time. We're human.
Right. We're human and you need a practice, right? You need a consistent practice to tune in to whatever you call your higher self, your soul, your business soul. And that's one of the things I love about soul language, that it provides a practice. And you need to build a foundation. So when times are tough, you're like, oh, wait, I'm already ahead of the game because I already know I'm safe.
When you're in the throes, though, that's when it's hard to have that inner voice of reason, right? Because you're in chaos, upset, financial turmoil, whatever it might be, angry client pulling out, whatever, right? The list goes on and on for us business owners. Now, before, and I've heard you say this before, the universe loves consistency. And what do you mean by that? Because I think this is an important piece of the puzzle too.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you need to be consistent in that sacred practice, whatever it is. you know, where you're tuning in, you're listening, you're asking questions, you're letting go, you know, consistency in good times and bad times, right?
Yeah.
Consistent. And then I always tell clients, what's the one thing you're going to do today, this week, this month, this quarter, this year to grow your business? Consistency. I also talk about good noise pollution, like watch what's in your head, watch what you're declaring, right? You know, if you're declaring there's not enough, there's not enough, there's not enough, well, you're bending the universe with your will. So what do you want to declare? I have a very good friend of mine that said, just say the largest number that could come out of your mouth in your head and keep saying it. I was like, okay, so I did it. And I have to tell you, it was a game changer. And like money would come in left and right because all the universe was hearing direction-wise was that number. And it was making things happen. And when people are kind of trying to figure it out, like if I knew you back then and you were changing your game plan with your sales strategy, I would go, okay, what would you be doing if you weren't worried about your sales or business or sustainability? And then I would be like, go do that. I did that one winter. Like I was like, okay, I'm going to bake bread every time I'm worried about money.
Hmm.
And I baked a lot. I baked a lot of bread and I made a lot of money that winter, right? Because I wasn't in the consciousness of the problem, right? I was focused on something else and being in the consciousness of the solution. So you really have to determine that what you're putting into your business, is it supporting your business or is it busy work and wreaking havoc and that you're in fear? And that's okay if you are, but here's your chance to put something new into it.
Love it. Okay. You just used the word conscious. So what role does consciousness play in our business?
Everything. It's probably the most important thing that you can do tactic wise in your business. And the easiest way to do that is simply by going, am I making this decision based on knowing I'm whole and complete, or am I making this decision based on fear? You're making the decision based on fear, it's going to create more fear, more lack. Mm. And if you're making the decision based on wholeness and completeness, that's what you're putting consciousness into your business. And consciousness will return in the form of money, clients, opportunities, right? I know we all think this is life and death with our business, and it's not. It's just a game. So let's play the game. Stop making it, you know, mean that you're living or you're dying. It's not. You're right. So have a little consistency in what you're doing with your energy and just allow. Even if you do it one more time a day, that's more goodness that you're putting into that energy field and it will respond tenfold.
And it's interesting because we're in subconscious mode or unconscious mode so much, right? So what is it? Like we have 65,000 thoughts a day, 80% of them are negative. And tomorrow, 90% of your thoughts today, you're going to recur and have tomorrow. So if we're in the unconscious where we're constantly that negative rhetoric, right? The negative record player in our ear, we all have, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. My business is never going to flourish, whatever that rhetoric is for you. And then you shift to that conscious where you're starting to put in the good words, right? The good vibrations, the good feelings, you can get control to some extent of that unconscious conversation or that unconscious inner dialogue, right?
Yeah. And you'll start to notice how that dialogue changes, right? So it gets easier. And if you look in the mirror every day and you go, oh my God, you're beautiful. Whether you believe it or not, at some point you're going to look at the mirror and go, wow, I'm beautiful. But if you keep looking in the mirror every day and going, oh, what's with that face? What's with that eyebrow? What's with it? Then you're only going to see that. So what are you looking at your business and how are you in conflict with it? And are you putting love into it? Or are you putting, I need this, I need that. Why isn't this happening? How could I not be this? Listen, and we all have our bad days, right?
Yeah, of course.
But it's just about tipping the scale. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be 51% in the way of putting more consciousness in your business, and that will tilt your scales, and you'll receive more.
Yep. 51% guys, we could do this. All right. So I have a lot of creative people that listen to the show. So what would you say to a highly creative person that maybe doesn't like the structure, they're hearing consistency and oh my goodness, I don't function that way. What do you do?
Yeah. So you have to think about consistency and structure, like earthquake structure, right? Of a building. So without that, the building would crumple. Mm-hmm. Good structure helps you be flexible. It helps you sway. It helps you be more creative. It creates more flow. Consistency and structure doesn't mean boring. Consistency and structure can be created so that creative mind can be set free to do whatever they want to do. But you still need some structures, because if you have all that creativity and no place to showcase it, right?
Yeah, or harness it.
Right. You might as well be just sitting on your couch. So, you know, it doesn't mean boring. It doesn't mean that you're going to be less creative. It actually gives you an outlet for that creativity, and it allows for a lot of freedom because you have a road that people can travel.
Yeah. And it's almost like if you're a creative, I would think like schedule your day. Where do you find your brain is the most creative? And so set the timer for an hour to daydream and journal and, you know, and with the intention of what's the divine download for today for a post I want to create. I don't know, whatever it is. So it's could be just scheduling your creative time when you're the most maybe vibrant, high energy, et cetera, right? Is that what we mean, what you mean by structure and consistency?
Well, also, you know, with creativity and highly creative people, they create lots of content. They, you know, tend to be like, ooh, sometimes bright, shiny object, squirrel, right?
Yes.
So, you know, it's really also about allowing for closure and conclusion. So you receive from your creative endeavors. You need structure to do that. You need how people can help you and support you, and how can they can buy your products, right? So it can be, of course, scheduling that creative time. But if you're just creating things, think of them like little babies. If you're just creating things and dropping off those babies and thinking those babies are going to take care of themselves, they're never, ever going to come back and provide for you, right? They have to be nurtured and watered and taken care of. That's also what highly creative people, they need within structure. They need to understand that they're creating little babies, and those little babies need to be taken care of.
Love it. Love it. And I think we all need to take care of ourselves, both personally as well as in the business, right? And that's that yes. Kind of that dual edge to it. But to understand that your personal life or your personal being has one soul language and your business has another soul language. And it's funny because Jen did my reading and Observer is in both of my, which you found, I think you said that was interesting. So I'm interesting, everyone. I'm interesting and unique was the other wonderful word that Jen used with me, but that Observer being both on the personal and the business side, right? But then the other two, so like very different. So we have to understand that so that you can manage to that, right? Or yeah. Create the practice that would works for me that might not work for Jen.
Right. Because if you have a double observer, right? So you really have to be very clear that you're observing and participating in every aspect of your life and your business, or you're just going to be like observing, 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 and nothing is going to materialize, right?
That's right.
So that's a lot of energy to be utilized. Most people don't have soul languages in common with their business as their personal soul. I consider it easier when they don't. Because then you have a little more flexibility when it comes to what you put into the business. But because you're a double observer, you kind of have to be strict with, you know, being very clear that you're observing and participating. And that is what you're here to do. You're not just here to like observe, but you're here to really kind of roll up your sleeves as well and get dirty with your observations.
Yeah. And it's funny because I'm an observer on the personal side, right? My clients, I meet with them and I could within 5 minutes tell you where your deficits are, both from the sales conversation, your business, your revenue stream, pricing. Within 5 minutes, I've got you nailed because I can observe at that really great level. But then I have the tangibility of saying this is, and that. So I said to Jen, because why do I do it for my clients? And yet when I go to do it for myself, it becomes so darn convoluted that I sometimes don't know what the next step is. And that's because of the observer, right? That I'm not sure on my personal side, I'm still in observation mode, that I never understand what that next step is, or it's not as clear as it is for me with my clients, right?
Exactly. You know, there's a limiting belief there somewhere. There's some painful experience somewhere. And so you might be really keenly aware of your observations, but you're not making that click over. Also, you just might be looking for all of the, you know, holes in your business and be constantly in the problem and not yes. in the solution by seeing all the goodness of your business, right?
Yes.
And so you can get stuck in the, what's wrong with it? How can I fix it? What's, instead of going, oh, what's right? What's working, right? And that also goes back to something you said earlier about changing your sales tactics when you were young, even though something was working for you. So that's a really great insight to go back now and go, okay, where am I doing that now with my business just yes. in a new sneaky way? Yeah.
Yes. I've had that revelation this week since we've done the reading. It's so darn fascinating. Yes. I love this. All right. We're almost out of time. What one thing do you want people to remember from our conversation, or a tip that they can start to be observant of or mindful of?
I think that they should in quotes, notice what they're putting into their business. Like, where is their come to place when they're writing an email or talking to a client or doing anything? Is it from a place of I'm not enough, or is it a place of wholeness and completeness? If it's from a place of not enough, just pause and ask your body, which will do it without effort, to fill you with the feeling and knowing that you're enough. And then continue doing what you're doing. And if you have to practice it 100 times a minute, 100 times a minute's fine.
But I love that. Go back to I'm enough, right? I'm yeah. whole and good, and I can help this person, and just breathe into that and allow it to happen. And we, again, and I'm a control freak. Everybody that knows me knows that. So that idea of that I could control it's absurd. It's ridiculously absurd. So the more we could surrender, I like that word too, Jen. I think the more we could surrender to what is, and the universe provides what is for us over and over and over again, we fight it because of this, you know, of our brain, right? Of the logic and labeling and all the things that we do. So everybody, here's the deal. You all should get a reading. Okay. And if you don't have a business, just get your soul, your personal soul language. I'm telling you, it will change your life. So first you can email Jen directly and go to jennifer@nosoulslanguage.net. And I will put that in the show notes because it is souls plural. If you want, go to our website, which I highly recommend. And that's soullanguage.us.us. Okay. So they're the two. And again, I will put that in the show notes. Additionally, Jen has a podcast, Asked and Answered by Soul. Is that the?
Yep.
Asked and Answered by Soul, S-O-U-L. I would put that in the show notes as well. You have to follow her. Brilliant, brilliant. Get her newsletter. All such cool stuff to read and listen to. And she has a free gift for my peeps, which I just love. And it's soullanguage.us and then /sacred practice. Again, peeps. I promise I'll put it all in the show notes, but it's her free gift to all of you, which I just love when my guests provide that. So check it out. Email Jen if you have questions. Listen to the podcast. Just become part of her community. It feels good. I love her community. She has a Facebook group that we could join, that you can join. And Jen, she's funny. She's smart. And she's got our back, and she knows how to teach us how to tap into our zones of genius. And again, if you do own a business, I highly recommend, like I did, doing both your personal soul language and your business soul language. They're so different. And yet we think we are our business. And that's the furthest thing from the truth, because our business is a whole separate entity, right? It has a soul like we have a soul. So please connect with Jen. I'll put it all in the show notes for you. Jen, I love you, my friend. You know that. You're one of my favorite peeps in the world.
Right back at you. Yay.
I know. Yay. I know we're disgusting, everyone. It's okay. And everyone, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that no matter what change you're facing, I really hope my guests and I provide just a different perspective. Whether you agree or disagree with our conversation and you think Jen and I are kooky nuts, that's okay. You heard it though. You heard the conversation. It helps amplify or grow your perspective. And that's really what what I hope my show is for you, to just shift your perspective a smidge. And with those shifts, I think is where the magic happens for each of us. So thank you again, Jen, for sharing your zone of genius and your beautiful gifts with us. I truly do appreciate you and everything you've done for me. So thank you for that.
Thank you. I'm so honored and I adore you. So thank you.
Yes, back at you. And you, all of you, I hope that you tune in every week to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish everyone an inspired week and just really, really pause and listen to what your body's saying. That could be the first step to change your life. If you do nothing, nothing's going to change. So just maybe start listening to your body and see what message it's providing. Jen, again, thank you. Thank you all for tuning in. I'm honored that you're on this journey of change with me, and I'll see you all next week. Have a great one. We'll be right back.